Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing?
We're projecting our voices through the microphone.
What for?
To come in contact with your ear, and then you come back in contact with ours again.
Okay, but can you play some music?
No way.
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
El patrocinio de WGXC es proporcionado en parte por la Asociación Olana, presentando el tercer jueves de cada mes un día de visitas guiadas y concluyendo con el programa artístico Melodías con Paisajes. Los visitantes pueden experimentar sonidos globales mientras contemplan los paisajes del Valle de Hudson. Este mes, el grupo afro-brasileño y de Caribe Heard World se presentará el jueves 21 de agosto de 12 a 19 horas. Todos están bienvenidos. Más información en olana.org/Third Thursdays.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month radio show here on WGXC Accra. We get on the airwaves to talk about movies every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m.
So true. It's
so
great.
True.
We have a wonderful time here.
We usually pick a theme for every episode, and then we watch movies around that theme and surprise each other with what we watch. Sometimes we watch the same movie and we get to discuss it together. We'll see what we're going to talk about tonight. But before that, we're going to talk about what's playing in the theaters near us. I'm going to start by telling you what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have Freakier Friday, The Naked Gun, and The Bad Guys 2. You can find out more by going to windhamtheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York. It's a four-screen drive-in theater, and each screen has a double feature. So this weekend on screen one, we have Freakier Friday and Fantastic Four, all the F's in a row. On screen two, we have Weapons and Together. Screen three is Terminator 2 and Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the one from the 70s. That's the best. And then on screen four, we have The Bad Guys 2 and Nobody 2, a movie I didn't know existed.
I just found out about
this
it.
This moment.
I just found out about it yesterday.
If you're interested in any of these movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at highwaydriveinny.com. That's H-I-W-A-Y, driveinny.com.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That is the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue in Hudson. There's a whole lot of movies there. We have Freakier Friday, Weapons, Sketch, Bad Guys 2, The Naked Gun, Together, Fantastic Four First Steps, Superman, Grave of the Fireflies is replaying there. Yeah. Ooh. Nobody 2, Transformers 1, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It looks like also the original, which is very, very fun. Extremely very exciting. Fun. So you can find out more by heading to spotlighttheater.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
All right. Now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL in Hudson, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. This weekend, we have Eddington, Key Largo, Boys Go to Jupiter, Sorry Baby. Now, this one, I think, is maybe in Italian.
Give it a go.
Diciano. Oh, boy, I hope it is in Italian. I'm not in trouble. There's also a movie called Shoshana and a movie called Commune, which is the 20th anniversary restoration. If you're interested in any of these movies, their showtimes, or more information about what they are, you can find out more at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. Last but not least for me, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema. I'm sorry. That's the 3-screen theater that's also on Fairview Avenue in Hudson. We have Sorry Baby, Weapons, Fantastic Four First Steps, and Eddington, as well as a whole bunch of very fun repertory screenings. On Monday, August 11th, there's Monty Python, The Holy Grail. On Thursday, August 14th, we have Overboard. Monday, August 18th, David Cronenberg's Crash.
Yes.
Yes. Very fun. And Thursday, August 21st, Seven Samurai.
Wow.
Very cool. Exciting. So you can find out more by heading to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right. And last from me, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Oh Hi, Sorry Baby, Folktales, Architecton, Cat Video Fest 2025. It comes back every year. Shoshana, Highest to Lowest, and The Last Class. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Together, Sorry Baby, Folktales, The Flick, The Naked Gun, It's Never Over, Jeff Buckley, Shin Godzilla,
yeah.
Angel-Headed Hipster, colon, The Songs of Mark Bolan and T-Rex.
Fun.
Move Ya Body, The Birth of House. Also fun.
Very fun.
And The Faculty. Huge, huge time for movies.
Everything's going on in the summertime.
You can find out more information about these movies and their showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
We're so lucky.
Well, it's another hot, beautiful Tuesday evening here in the Hudson Valley. And tonight is an extra special night on Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, because it's not just with Jenny and Amanda. It's with Jenny, Amanda, and Sheila, my mom.
Yay.
Say hi. Hey,
hello, everybody. It's so nice to be here.
So mom picked a really great theme for tonight. Kind of around the desire to watch the movie Cinema Paradiso, which I had never seen, but it's a favorite movie of my mom and my dad. And it was so building the theme around knowing we're going to watch that. It was, we picked movies about movies.
Such a good theme. Like truly so many movies, but also they're so different.
Yes.
Because they're, I mean, it's silly to say, but obviously we love movies. And movies that explore that love is so wonderful, because you get to really see other people experience your same love for cinema.
Exactly. And specifically with a movie like Cinema Paradiso, because when we first set out to do movies about movies, of course, I guess we shouldn't do documentaries about movies, because that is right. Very obviously a movie about a movie. But there's movies about people who work in movies, screenwriters, actors, and the like. Mm-hmm. And then something like Cinema Paradiso, which is a movie about, yeah, the love of cinema and the experience of experiencing movies. Yeah.
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 What made you want to choose Cinema Paradiso, Mom?
It's just, I think it was one of the first movies that really made me aware
about the impact that movies had on not only individuals, but communities and people with disparate backgrounds, and especially in this little Sicilian village. It was the movies that pulled the whole community together. And it's beautiful. It's not only beautifully filmed, and of course the music by Ennio Morricone is incredible, but it's a sweet story about Toto, this little boy who goes on to become a very famous, well-known Italian filmmaker. So,
yeah, I guess this is a good spot to tell those who may be listening who have not seen this movie a little bit about it. It's from 1988, swept up at the Oscars.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Won a lot.
Yeah.
Including the musical score by Ennio Morricone.
Yeah. Which is so good. So
iconic for a reason.
And honestly, I think... like it had to be an Italian to write, not only direct and write the movie, but also create the music for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got the chops. I think about Ennio Morricone, like you imagine what it's like to be John Williams or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been a part, an integral part of movies that have shaped our world.
Absolutely,
like,
yes.
Not only just shaped movie making, but... And then culturally, just so much in our world.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
So 1988, and it takes place during, right after World War II.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's like the late 40s at the very beginning, mid 40s, 1940s, and then it kind of proceeds. It's a real coming of age story. So, it does follow this main character, Salvatore Toto.
Otherwise known as Toto.
As he gets older. And so, we experience quite a bit of time, but I feel like the bulk of the movie is in the mid-40s and then the mid-1950s.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the movie opens with Toto's mother, and now an old woman, trying to contact him because somebody named Alfredo has died, and she knows that he's going to want to know. And Toto has not been back to the little town of Giancaldo in
30
decades.
Years.
Exactly. And then the movie takes us back into the past to right after World War II, when little Toto, in absence of a father, because his father has been fighting in World War II and we find out is unfortunately been killed in World War II, his father figure is Alfredo, the man who runs the local cinema, Cinema Paradiso. Mm-hmm. And
he's the projectionist.
He's the projectionist. Yes, I should say that. He's the projectionist. Yeah. And that first... third of the movie was my very, very favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it was so sweet.
Yeah, seeing little Toto, who, you know, is his
the
poor
magic
mom.
Of movies.
Yeah, the magic of movies, and he is kind of raising himself. You know, his mother is so busy, and also so she's grieving, and she's so sad, and she takes it out on him a lot. And and Alfredo, like, there's so much charm in his relationship with Alfredo, not only because it's very touching, but because it's sassy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alfredo's like, get the F out of here. get out of my projection booth. Toto's always asking for, how can I forget about, like many places in Italy, especially at this time, it's a very, very Catholic village.
Yes.
And so before any of the movies are screened, the priest gets a private screening and he rings a bell whenever there's any kissing or any sexual nature.
Anything remotely sexual
intimate.
In nature.
And that's the ringing of the bell signals Alfredo to cut that scene. And then he's supposed to save those cuts, that cut film, because it needs to be spliced back into the movie before the reel goes to another theater. Toto is always asking to take the cutaway scenes. Oh my, like that.
It's so good.
That to me, I loved this movie. I loved finally seeing it. But for me, there was a bit of a toward the end, and again, like middle, kind of between the what you could call the second and third acts, it kind of dipped a little bit for me because we follow Toto as he grows older and he himself becomes a projectionist when he is in his teens and early 20s. But before all of that, when it's just getting to know this village and getting to know the characters, the drunks, the like flirty ladies, the priest, and seeing the relationship that everyone has with this theater, which is so clearly so important.
It's the thing that binds the community together.
Yeah.
Even like the wealthy guy who actually
spitting on body.
Oh my god!
And the guy the you know there's a.
Like a guy who's kind of unwell who lives in the square.
Yes, he rules the square, but even he loves the movie.
Yeah. Everybody comes to Cinema Paradiso.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the same reason that so many of us go to the movies, no matter the other larger or smaller reasons, it's in a form of escape, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is a post-war life. These people are living. They're living with such immense... tragedy and complicated feelings about Italy's role in World War II. Yeah. And so it's, you really get this marvel that people are getting out of going to the movies in this town in this time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is so, so sweet and beautiful.
Yeah.
And just Alfredo's kind of exalted position among the community because of the role that he has.
And he's the only one who knows how to run the projector. So if it's not for Alfredo, there's no movies.
They don't watch anything.
And it's so essential for this community.
It does. It feels like there's a real, like a lot of this movie doesn't feel subtle in a way that I like. Like it does have like a melodrama to it, but there is kind of this like subtle, like gesturing towards the poverty that everyone is experiencing there, where like it's never really like discussed in earnest, but it does feel like the cinema is the thing that everybody has to like unwind from their otherwise very stressful lives.
Because otherwise you're just trying to survive.
Right, everyone's just like working all the time and like taking care of this like little town and you know.
Yeah,
and you doing can laundry. See their exuberance, you know, when their film is coming.
It's
and
like freedom.
Yes,
It's implied but not totally shown. It is a seaside town, and you get the implication that it is a fishing village. Mm-hmm. So very hardworking community, and this is the way they escape. We see some really beautiful scenes as Toto gets older and becomes the projectionist himself under Alfredo's tutelage.
Because of a fire that I guess back in whenever these in the 40s or 30s and 40s, it was the film was coated with
it's like gelatin. And
gelatin,
like
yes. And it was very flammable.
Yeah, celluloid was incredibly flammable. And there's a, you know, there's a part where when Toto's really little, Alfredo's explaining to him how to run the projector.
Like, you never, never turn your eyes away from the projector or the film because it's very flammable. And unfortunately, something is happening out in the main square.
Well, this is the beautiful scene. Is it's they over... there's a movie that everyone wants to see, and they don't have enough tickets and enough room in the theater. So Alfredo turns... I'm not sure what part of the
it's
machinery
like a lens
it is.
Or something.
Yeah, he turns the lens so that out the back of the projection booth is a balcony that leads to the square, and he's able to project the movie inside as well as outside in the square, and to give everybody a free show. Right. And it's while he's doing that, and while he and little Toto are enjoying watching the joy that people are getting, that the celluloid catches fire because he's not paying attention to it. Yeah. And he is blinded. Alfredo is blinded in the fire.
So by that time, Toto has been under Alfredo's tutelage for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. So he knows, even though he's very small
he's
and he has
so
to
little.
Stand on a stool, but he knows how to run the projector. So he becomes the town's projectionist under Alfredo's.
He also crucially saves Alfredo, like
as a little boy
during this really dramatic and intense fire, where Alfredo tries to stop it. He's overwhelmed by the flames and is like knocked out by a ball of flame that like flies at his face.
Yeah.
Toto runs up to try and save him and pull. And despite being like the tiniest boy alive,
he
manages to drag him down the stairs and save his life, which is like, this movie. Did you guys cry at the end? Just wondering.
Of course.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you.
You can spoil the ending.
I'm not going to spoil the ending, but the original movie was 173 minutes long.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
And there have been a number of director's cuts, and the one that we watched was wonderful, but
I think it was a theatrical
some really
cut.
Crucial parts of the movie that are cut out that... And I can say what it
No,
is.
No, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when Alfredo as a young teenager meets Elena.
Toto. And,
or Toto meets yes. Elena and falls madly in love. Mm-hmm. It's his first love. And she, unfortunately, has to move away. She wrote to Toto through Alfredo.
No.
Oh.
And Alfredo never gave the letters Stop. To Toto.
Okay, so we should add that part of this is that when Toto is young, the yes. reason for this that Alfredo wouldn't tell Toto about these letters is because Alfredo is like, you got to get out of this yes, town and never come back.
There's nothing for you here.
There's nothing for you here because Toto would stay. Toto was in Alfredo.
Love with the movies. He was in love with Cinema Paradiso. He didn't want to leave his mm-hmm. mom. And Alfredo kept saying to Toto, you have to leave. You have to leave. Look what happened to me.
Right. You know, yeah. There's nothing for you
there's
here.
There's nothing yeah. for you here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bye.
I also watched the theatrical cut, which is, it's 2 hours and 4 minutes.
Yeah. Yes.
As opposed to the one that's like
that's almost three hours. Yeah.
Because I thought about it and then I was like, well, let me bite off what I can chew for now.
On the internet, some people say, don't even bother
that's
with the director's
cut. I also
cut.
Read yes. that.
Yes. So some people say, so that's the unfortunate thing is maybe the director's cut isn't necessarily a better movie, mm-hmm. but I think it probably does give us some crucially missing information
right.
that yes. that maybe, you know how I said everything after Toto grows up is less exciting yeah. and interesting to me. And maybe those missing details give that part of the story a little more mm-hmm. a little more
like
juice.
Depth, yeah.
yeah.
It does also feel like this is a movie primarily about like, it is about cinema. It is about this story of this kid's life, but it's really about the people. Like
yes,
it is very
yes.
much like a character study yeah. of Toto, Alfredo, their relationship to each other and their relationship to this world that they live in. And it feels like that's the kind of thing where like there is room for more emotional scenes where you
yeah.
have them like this texture to the world where you're getting like another piece of Alfredo's story with Toto, which
yeah.
like
yeah.
we understand that he doesn't want him, that Alfredo doesn't want Toto to ever come back, but it is like heartbreaking to hear that he would receive letters and not pass
yes,
them
exactly.
forward.
Well,
like,
the movie opens with Toto, who is now Salvatore, who's
mm-hmm.
this very famous Italian director,
mm-hmm.
and he gets, as you said earlier, he gets a notice or the call from his mother that Alfredo died, and it says, and his mother laments when he finally does come back to this little Sicilian village, that you've never meant anyone, you've never,
yeah,
know,
girl,
like
you've
this.
Never had a relationship,
you've never had any relationship that lasted, and so you learn that his love was Elena, and Alfredo.
Like prevented them from reconnecting.
Yeah, because she wrote to him regularly and Alfredo never gave.
And that's, you know, I do feel like, yeah, there that second half of the movie was kind of missing some of that heart-wrenchingness.
Yes,
and
yes,
like,
yes.
including the relationship with Alfredo. Like, you know, when Toto finally does leave as a young man, and Alfredo is saying his official goodbye to him. It is, of course, sad. And, you know, like Alfredo's trying to not cry. But, just that adult relationship mm-hmm. between them, I feel like
mm-hmm.
we were missing seeing some of
yes.
what they cut
yeah.
out. Like.
Because Alfredo wanted Toto to think that she dumped him.
Right.
So he would pursue his movie vocation because...
Yeah, and not stick around.
And not be distracted by her.
Right.
Yeah.
And having
that complexity to their relationship mm-hmm. would have been really nice in that later part of the movie.
And at the very end of the movie, which is also not in the director's cut, Salvatore, Toto, mm-hmm. is going back to... I think he's in... Rome, is that where he lived?
No, it's Giancaldo is the little town.
He goes back, a couple of days later, he sees Elena in the airport.
What?
And so there's, I understand that 3 hours is a long movie, but they cut out some of the critical pieces in the second half.
I will watch a long movie if it's going to make me cry.
I will too. I will too.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's so, oh my God, it pulls at your heartstrings in so many different ways. But the last half of the director's cut is, it misses that.
Or the theatrical cut is missing.
Theatrical cut,
I did read, I mean, of course, I'm going to eventually watch the director's cut, the longer one.
Yeah.
But I did read a little bit about what's cut out when he does see Elena and they do reconnect. And I think they like share the night together.
Oh my God.
And then, but then they still don't end up together, which is also fine. I don't need a like kind of a perfect little happy ending. But I, from reading it, I do wonder if it necessarily makes a better movie.
Right. But well, I do really love like one of, so something about Alfredo that we haven't mentioned is that, so he obviously has a love of cinema because that is his job. That's his profession. That's also how he interacts with the world, as he gives life advice to Toto that is just quotes from movies, which I love.
It's so good.
One of the things that he says to him as Toto is getting older is like, life is not like the movies. Like, it's not so simple. It's not so beautiful. You have to get out of here and like do what you're going to do, because things are not going to happen the way that you want them to, the way that they do in the movies that you love so much. And I do really love that the movie, the Cinema Paradiso, like, reflects that in these ways. Like, I actually found it really compelling how he and Elena never interact again by the end. Like, it does feel like there's something very realistic about that. And also that, like, Salvatore leaves and never comes back and, like, does have this kind of, these, like, missing threads in his life. That
like the missing cut film.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly. The missing
that are,
cut
like,
film.
Left undone. And, like, there is something very poetic about that. And it really feels, like, true to the story of this movie that is like, hey, like, we love movies, we all do, but it's not the same as reality. And there is like, it's about dealing with the nuance of life and kind of like embracing that contradiction that we all experience all the time. That it isn't that like neat, clean little story.
But then I think that's why the community, why it was so special, Cinema Paradiso, because it was an escape.
It is simple.
We're not real.
Oh, yeah. It's
and it was
so
the
special
thing that,
it's why we still go.
That's why we love them.
Why we started going. I know, I do love, so maybe we'll talk about the very last scene, which is when I really did cry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
When you watch the director, when you watch the director's cut, you really, really will cry.
Well, so Salvatore, again, to Toto, when he's a little boy, he wants those cut pieces of all the kiss scenes, right? He's always hoping to have at one point, Alfredo gives him some, and those catch fire in his house when he's a little kid. There's lots of, like, the section of the movie where Toto is little is feels long in this wonderful way.
It's very literary.
You experience so much. There's so many sweet
life
moments
in this Italian village.
I mean, I'm even thinking of the scene. The scene where his mom has given him money to get groceries and he spends it going to the movie theater. And she finds him after he comes out of the movies and she gives him a couple smacks. And Alfredo comes out and he says, oh, like, no. He must have dropped it.
It's like he didn't have to pay to see the movie.
He didn't have to pay to see the movie, and he has the ticket taker give the money. It's really, all these little moments are so sweet. But so Salvatore goes back to Giancarlo for Alfredo's funeral, and when he comes back, or his mother gives him something.
Alfredo's wife says
Alfredo's wife says,
Salvatore, Alfredo left you a gift.
Yes.
Come by before you go back to, I think it was Rome.
So Salvatore does indeed pick up this gift. And when he goes back, he goes to the screening theater where he works.
Yeah.
and he plays this reel, and it's cut together. It's all of the missing kissing scenes.
I know. I'm going to cry.
It started playing, and I was like, oh, no.
I know.
And then when I think about that scene and how he has never had a successful relationship as an adult, I'm like, oh, is it because he never saw?
Yes.
He never got to see all these romances play out in these movies, you know?
But, yeah, he could have. And Elena, you know, she's regularly, like every couple of weeks, sent letters through to the cinema to Alfredo. And Alfredo and his, I don't know, was he doing a good thing? Or that's, was he, I mean, was it a that, betrayal?
That is what
that's
makes
a big
it
question.
That is what makes it interesting. Totally. And that's, like Jenny's saying, that is what makes it. It's nice that it still, even though it's such a beautiful, fantastical, slightly magical movie, the fact that it has the reality of life in
this, like, grit. Because I do also feel like I loved this movie, and I mentioned that it felt like there was a little bit of melodrama to it earlier, but I mean that in the, like, in the sense that everyone's emotions are so big, and especially the very beginning, the first third, which is like the most fun of the movie, everything is so huge. And part of that is also because it's from Toto's perspective and he's a little boy.
Yes.
And then it does feel like as the movie gets on, it gets a little more grounded and real. And it does feel like it loses that magic, which is painful as a viewer because, like, that's part of what's lovely
that's
about the
movie.
That's
part of also life.
But it is also part of life. It's like he gets older. Like there's a period of time when he's a teenager in his early 20s where he does his legal military service that he has to do. And he goes away and comes back. And, like, the town is pretty much identical, but things are just a little bit
different.
And he's like, and he no longer has a place there. And there's that feeling of coming home and it just not feeling right anymore.
Well, that feeling of you can never really go home again.
It's true.
You can go home, but you can never really go home.
And that does feel like it does. That feels like the real transition point for him where, like, Alfredo's been telling him to go, but he didn't. Toto wasn't really accepting of that in this, or at least, like, my interpretation of it is that like he was very much still entrenched in this world, in part because of this young woman Elena who he falls in love with as a teenager, and also his relationship with Alfredo and his relationship with his family, his mother and his sister, but then having this moment of transition where he, you know, he comes back and everything's different and it doesn't feel right. That's, I think, part of what gets him the push to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a really quick little shot in that part of the movie where he returns. And again, I mentioned earlier that it's a fishing village in Italy. And there's just a really quick shot of a bunch of the boat anchors and hooks piled up on the beach. Clearly, there's no, that industry is drying up, or a lot of the people who were involved in that industry are gone now. Who knows? But it's just a really tiny, quick detail shot of, like, things are really changing.
Extremely evocative. All those anchors on the shore.
Like, this town doesn't feel as vivacious as it did when you're young. It's drying up and people can't leave because they don't have the means to. They're still here. And that feels nice in some ways because you're coming home and you're seeing familiar things, but it's not,
it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You're not that little boy.
You're not that little boy anymore.
The one question, though, is, and unfortunately, if you didn't watch the director's cut, you didn't see it, but was Alfredo, who was this father figure to Toto, was he doing him a favor out of, and I'm sure in Alfredo's mind, he was doing it out of love for Toto. But was that a betrayal?
I mean, or honestly, even in the theatrical cut, I did, like, because the scene where Alfredo sends him away, I found extremely moving. Especially just the way it's filmed with them, like, holding each other so close as he, like, whispers into his ear to never come home.
I know. Which is, it's heart-wrenching. Yes, being told that by somebody that you love who is essentially raised
you. He's like, do not come back here.
And he says, if you come back, I'll never speak to you.
It's horrible.
And it does, like, to me, like, not having that extra footage, I still felt like it feels so painful to be told that by somebody who ostensibly loves you. And like also while his mother and his sister are standing right there and he's like, oh, you're asking me to abandon all of this.
Yes, exactly.
Like it's not just you. It's my whole life.
But also imagine how difficult that was for Alfredo.
Oh, of course. Which is like part of the painfulness of it.
I think that you got the impression anyhow that he didn't have children. He and his wife didn't have children.
No, he doesn't have any.
So Toto was his life.
That's his boy. Yeah.
To hug him goodbye and say, I never want to see you again.
I know. It's horrible.
Oh,
I mean, you
it just hoits.
You ask if it's a betrayal, and I feel like it's, I mean, I don't have children. I don't know. But I would imagine that's a hard question to answer because obviously Alfredo is doing what he thinks is best, which is what all parents are doing.
And,
and they might be doing something that's actually so painful and so damaging, but you think you're doing the best thing for like, and you are trying to improve upon the life of someone you're raising where you couldn't improve on your own.
Right. Like
well, that was, and that, it was might not be, that was Alfredo's drive was to have Toto live a life differently than his.
Exactly. And so that drive to improve the person you're raising, improve their lives the way you couldn't, is kind of blinding. You know,
totally
to and so it's maybe doesn't, it kind of disregards the individual needs of this younger person. So is it a betrayal? Yes and no, I think, you know.
It's a classic, like, you'll thank me when you're older. And it's like,
well,
well, maybe I will.
I don't know, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Well, if he, if Salvadori, little Toto, adult Salvadori, had actually ever known that Elena was writing to him, he probably never would have left.
No.
Yeah.
And he never finds out. And even in the director's cut, you realize that Alfredo has been hoarding these letters from Elena and not telling Toto.
Yeah.
But Toto Salvadori never finds out.
Honestly, good.
Well,
see, like, I think that would feel so horrible for him.
Yeah, I know. And then you also, so, like, and because of holding back those letters and not giving Salvatore a reason to come back, he becomes successful in his career. But he's unsuccessful in relationships.
Exactly.
So it's like your definition of success.
Right.
Like,
what does that
mean? Salvatore had a better career than Alfredo ever did and ever could have hoped
for.
Salvatore achieved what Alfredo hoped he would.
Right.
But his life
is so empty
in so many other ways.
And I'm sure, like, Alfredo also has a wife who he clearly loves in this movie, too. So I think, like, if he had known as he was older that he had taken that from Salvatore, I'm sure he would feel terrible about that actually.
Yes,
like that is like what do we value, and also like the consequences of our actions we just can't know.
That's part of the like the wonderful realness of this movie is that very real part of life with the best intentions but you still impress your values upon somebody else, and it's not necessarily theirs. And and like, is it a mistake? Is it not? We really don't know. There's 1 million ways it could have ended up, and that's part of the like excruciating thing about being alive. And that is it's inescapable, and it's not like a movie where there's one beginning point and one way that it ends up. That's like you said, part of what makes that movie wonderful is it does.
And what makes it also wonderful is the music.
It's
I swear, I truly, truly believe that only an Italian, Jenny, that only an Italian could have written that music, because it's so full of emotion and it's so expressive. And if you imagine the movie without that music by Ennio Morricone, it would be...
It adds so much to that movie.
Yeah.
I found out when I read a little bit of the Wikipedia page this morning, Ennio Morricone did it with his son. They composed it together. And it was like the first time that they worked together. And then they continued to work together through the rest of his life.
I feel like
makes sense.
Yeah, that probably has a huge part in making it how it is.
I remember seeing him at one of the Oscars, and I don't know, he won many Oscars.
Oh yeah.
But he was sitting in the front row behind all this glitz and glamour, and he's this short little Italian guy with his sweet short little Italian wife next to him.
Just like my family.
Who clearly does not fit into the Hollywood stereotype.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's swept away so many awards because his music is so heartfelt.
It's incredible.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, totally.
It's
like
so
a generational
beautiful.
Talent, yes, for sure. Yeah.
I in the very back to the end montage of kisses. So there's early on in the movie when Toto first finds out for sure that his father has indeed died
in the war.
Yeah. He asks Alfredo if he knew his dad, and Alfredo says, of course. Yeah, he looked like Clark Gable. He was really handsome. Aww. And I was kind of hoping that the last kiss in the kiss reel would have been a Clark Gable one.
That would have been a good ending.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Because even though...
We need the Amanda cut. Release the Amanda cut.
You know, just a little detail callback.
Yeah. But it's hard to describe the scenes with the priest who is... Hilarious, who gets a private screening and horrified by the fact that two people might kiss. So, Alfredo has this huge tin of clips.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, then,
as the movies, as you progress and the movies get a little more risque, there's not just kissing.
I was just going to say, that's, again, to that part of the movie that's the meatiest, the most wonderful. Yeah, when Toto is fully the main projectionist of the cinema parodies. So, movies, we're not just getting kissing. There's some naked butts.
Yep. Yeah. So when there's the fire and Alfredo is burned, the cinema paradiso burns down.
Yes.
But luckily, a person in the town recently won a football pool. And so
he won the lottery.
So he's got the cash to build
the Nuevo cinema.
Another amazing detail. He wins and he starts dressing snappy.
Yeah.
And like somebody else in a scene where you're hearing just whispers in the crowd, someone's like, oh, like all the luck goes to the Northerners.
The Neapolitans.
Exactly. So funny. And so he builds a new cinema paradiso. He guts it and renovates it. And then the priest is no longer calling the shots.
That's right.
To see the racy.
All the racy bits.
It's so funny when they finally watch a movie and the kiss scene isn't cut out. And the guy's like, a kiss! We're going to see a kiss!
They finally see it. It's so
After
it's
35 so years. Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah, watching the movies change with the time as Toto gets
amazing.
Older. So there's a horror movie that plays and there's two.
And everyone's scared.
Everyone looks away except for one guy and one girl.
Yeah.
And then they get together later. It's it's just a little background detail.
They have,
it's
a baby in the future too at a future screening.
Those are the
Yes.
We Jenny and I talk all the time about how movies, they don't make them like they used to.
No, they don't.
And movies where you have this huge cast of characters, maybe you don't even know their names, but all it takes is two tiny little details for you as a human person who likes watching movies, you can fill in all the rest of the details. Mm-hmm. You don't need all of them.
No, you don't.
So, seeing that the couple in the town who get together because they both don't look away during the horror movie.
Yeah.
That's all you need, but it adds so much texture.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so nice.
It's so beautiful. And another thing that I did actually really love about the end is when Salvatore comes back to town, all those people are still there. Yeah. And that is that kind of speaks to Alfredo where he's like, there's nothing for you here. Nothing changes here.
Yeah.
Like, we are all the same. And I'm of two minds about that, but but Salvatore comes back and everyone is still there. They are all exactly the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's
a little bit older.
A little bit
30
older.
30 years older.
I mean, some of them honestly look incredible. Alfredo's wife did not look 30
years
older. No, she looked great.
It's like, my Lord.
Young Toto didn't even really give the impression ever that he didn't like that aspect of living
totally.
There. You know, it was truly Alfredo who seemed wary of that aspect for Toto, but Toto never said, oh, I gotta get out of this town.
No, because you know, Alfredo was operating being 40 or 50 years older than Toto, and knowing what living,
right,
the realities that living will give you that little Toto would never have
known. Well, and there's that beautiful scene too where when Toto is a little boy, he is taking a test in school and there are the adults who come in to take the same test to get their certification for whatever.
Alfredo is basically illiterate.
Yeah, and so Alfredo comes in to take the test.
He's been studying apparently to try to get his like probably elementary degree.
It's not it's like just like a certificate, and so
because little Toto can't be more than 8 or 9
seven.
Years old.
He's little and so they're in the same class taking the same test, and Alfredo tries to cheat, like they help, like Toto helps him, but it's
Alfredo showing him how to use the projector.
Which is amazing, but they're like, it's such a sweet charming scene, like the two of them are like covered in ink because they're using like fountain pens It's just like such a sweet, like, I don't know, but that speaks to Alfredo's experience of like, he's like, I only know how to run the projector. I don't know how to do anything else. Yeah. And like, you should know more than that.
Again, that's the wonderful reality the movie is depicting, is that kind of generational strain of the things that Toto maybe would have access to, even though he stayed in that town, is different from what Alfredo did.
But things have changed so much.
Alfredo doesn't know that. You don't know how much things change for younger people.
And you just wish better for the people who come after you, especially somebody who is essentially your son, where you're just like, I want you to have a better, more comfortable life than what I have had.
Yeah. And it's he did have.
Yeah,
and absolutely. With the best intentions. But of course, it is always blind to other options.
I loved Cinema
but watch
Paradiso.
It it's watch so the director's cut don't
we will we will we will do we want to briefly mention the other movies that we watched and then answer some questions that you typed up for us?
What did you guys watch? What was the other movies that
so
you both watched?
We watched another movie called Empire of Light from 2022, I believe. And I need to pull up the full cast, but it stars Olivia Colman.
Cute.
Who can do anything.
I know, she's so
she really can. And a young man named Michael Ward, who I don't know that I had seen, but it takes place basically 1980 and 1981 in a small British seaside town. And Olivia Colman's, what's her name? Hillary and Michael Ward Steven both work at a beautiful cinema called The Empire. And it is indeed a very gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous cinema. And Hillary is a single older woman who Steven is a young black man and living in, again, early 1980s England at a time where there's a lot of race riots happening and a lot of
overt racism.
Like skinhead activity. And like it's during like Thatcher England. Oof. So it's just like there's a lot
nasty
stuff. And they develop a relationship that starts off friendly and then becomes a romantic and sexual relationship. And she's much older than him. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be kind of like college age. Like he's mentioned wanting to go to college to be an architect and hasn't gotten in. Kind of honestly a similar thing where she's like, you got to keep trying to go.
Yeah, totally.
As the movie goes on, we find out she has some serious mental health issues and is maybe schizophrenic. It wasn't a very good movie.
It sounded promising.
It had some great intentions, and it did take some pages out of the Cinema Paradiso book. It being really about the people involved and less about the movies. And again, this younger character having an attachment because he loves Hillary
and he loves the movies, and he loves the cinema, and she runs the cinema.
She never watches the movies though, because she's so focused on doing her job. And so the movie ends with her finally finding joy in the escapism of watching the movies.
Sweet. Yeah.
It's got like a pretty incredible British character actor cast, but
I was like, Toby Jones is in there. I saw
exactly. It missed the mark.
Bummer.
What else did you watch?
I watched one other movie. not really about the love of movies.
Did you watch American Movie?
No. I did not break our rule of not watching a documentary.
Oh, good. Okay.
I watched a movie from 1999 called Bowfinger.
Oh, yes. You know what I thought about with Eddie Murphy, right?
Yes.
I thought about that.
It's
yes.
really fun. Here's what yes. I'll say.
Oh.
It's not about the love of movies. It's about trying to make a movie.
Okay.
It's
okay.
It's really funny. Yes.
It's from 1999, famously. Everyone knows the best year for cinema.
It's true.
it stars Steve Martin as a film producer agent funny. Named Bowfinger, who is failing and in a lot of debt. And he's like, I have to make a good movie if we're going to, like... He has Christine Baranski is one of his actors who he's trying to keep with him. There's like another young man actor who's like, I got to get out of here. And he has a playwright who he's like trying to make this guy's movie. So he's like, okay, this is my plan. We are going to shoot 90% of a movie.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Just with us. And then the other 10%, there's this massive actor right now played By Eddie Murphy.
Massively popular, famous.
Who's his name in the movie is Kit Ramsey, and he's like, okay, we're gonna make a Kit Ramsey movie, but he's not gonna know that he's in it. So they just keep running into him in real life, and like the actors go and act at him.
Oh, amazing.
And then they film it.
Oh, really good.
Really good and funny. There's also like a classic instance of Eddie Murphy's playing two characters. He's playing himself, Kit Ramsey, and then he's also playing Kit Ramsey's weird brother,
yep.
who they find incidentally and cast him to be his body double because they look identical.
Amazing.
And it's just a really great, it's like so fun and funny. Like it definitely has some like very 1999 jokes in it,
yes.
but Steve Martin's deliveries are just like out of control.
He's so good. Eddie Murphy is.
His character, Kit Ramsey, also has anxiety, and he's like a member of like maybe a Scientologist style like cult kind of they're like called like head thinkers or something.
Amazing. He
keeps going to see his therapist because he's like, people just keep seeing things and they're like really driving me crazy. Like he like thinks that he's losing his mind because this is
partly because they're filming this movie.
And people keep coming to him and talk to him about aliens and he's like, what's going on? Because it's a sci-fi.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's a sci-fi movie that they're trying to film.
Incredible mantra that he says when he's like really freaking out, where he goes, keep it together.
Because he has no idea.
It's
great. It's a great movie.
Such a good plot.
It's pretty funny.
I really enjoyed Bowfinger. Not really about the love of movies at all. Just
no, but it's a movie about making
exactly and about how hard it is to make a movie.
I mean, it's hard to find movies that specifically fit our bill of movies about the love of cinema.
Yeah, totally.
It's hard,
but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It has so many fun. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen like a truly just like straight up and down comedy where it's like every scene, like even like the action set pieces are just comedy scenes.
Well, with those two actors, Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy,
like,
oh my God,
they're so good. Yeah. I would recommend Bowfinger. I really enjoyed it.
It's so funny.
Oh man, they really, when a comedy hits, they used to be so good.
They used to be so good. And they just don't make them anymore.
They really don't. Kind of like family drama. Like, we've talked a lot about something like Mystic Pizza, where it's funny, but it's also very sad and it's romantic and it has kind of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make a lot of movies like that anymore either.
Pure, funny comedy.
Straight up and down, like mid-budget movies. Like, they just don't make them anymore.
No, they don't.
Which is such a bummer.
But Bowfinger is really funny.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Would recommend.
And it is about a movie about trying to make a movie.
About trying to make a movie. And it has like a lot of funny scenes of like everybody running to get the shot. And like,
and this poor, unassuming, unaware, famous actor is...
That's so
becoming more and more paranoid and anxious because what's going on?
It's great. And it's also it's like 90 minutes, you're in and out. It's like, I'm laughing and then it's over.
Yeah. I mean, our next Movies About Movies episode, we can focus on movies about making movies. Because there's so many of those.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, you know,
so
they all work in Hollywood. They want to talk about what they're doing.
All right. Jenny drummed up some really good questions for us to end on.
I wanted to ask you guys, first, do you remember the first movie that you fell in love with?
My first movie was made by Disney in 1942, which was much earlier than I am. Is Bambi.
Oh, that's a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
I was a little kid when I saw it, and it is so sweet and innocent. And I think it was what really made me aware of, like, the beauty of all these animals, because Thumper, the little rabbit, Flower, the skunk.
Well, it's also such a beautifully animated movie. I remember in that movie, and I haven't seen it since I was little, but when everything's thawing after the winter and the drops on the leaves,
so beautiful.
And it's making a song.
I mean, those, like, hand-drawn animations are so gorgeous.
Well, that's it. I mean, you think of, the hours.
Thousands of hours.
I mean, obviously, for a lot of people, the traumatic part of the movie that had an impact on a lot of young people was when Bambi's mother dies. But unfortunately, you hear the gunshot, but you don't see her.
Right. That's the Disney promise. They're going to take it easy.
And
on
that's
it.
Kind of nice, though, is when movies, like, that's very scary and sad for kids to watch, but it also kind of respects kids' ability to comprehend things that are very scary
I think
and dark.
To do that.
It is important. It is important, and I know it must be terrible as a parent to see your kids so upset during something
that. I think Disney handled it pretty well. They didn't really show you, but it was really a year in the life of this Prince of the Forest and his friends.
He's so cute.
And you see the transition from childhood to absolutely carefree, and all life is about is having fun, to growing into this young deer with antlers. Becoming eventually taking over as the king.
More responsibility.
And then Thumper has his family. And Flower has her family. Yeah. And the owl, who is always there to give them wise advice. It's just
so sweet. Perfect answer. Bambi.
Yeah. That's an amazing answer.
It is,
I mean, there were so many movies that I loved as a kid. There were so many movies that I was totally obsessed with. I mean, how did you specifically phrase the question?
I said, what's the first movie you fell in love with?
The first movie I fell in love with.
Such a hard
question. I know, it's so hard. Yes. Well, the answer that I wrote down was actually for when I was a little bit older.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
that. But maybe it's actually an answer to the next question. I mean, The Land Before Time.
That's honestly on my short list.
Probably The Land Before Time.
Definitely, absolutely, for sure.
Because, it kind of inspired by your answer. So traumatically sad.
Yeah.
I still, sometimes that clip of Littlefoot's grandparents dying pops up, and I'm like, why would you show me this?
I can't watch this anymore.
Is horrible. But that same thing where you're not, Don Bluth was who made those movies as a kid. He made An American Tale. Mm-hmm. He made all the freaky ones.
Yep.
He made the freaky, sad ones. All Dogs Go to Heaven. Yep. About kids' dogs dying.
Yeah. Is Brave Little Toaster Don Bluth?
Maybe. He made all the freaky, sad ones. But it doesn't shy away from the fact that kids can absorb that.
Oh, yeah.
And still follow the journey.
Absolutely.
From leaving this thing that's so hard and that unfortunately so many children do experience. And then into this lighter part of life where you find your own family and you find joy after sad thing. And just, I was obsessed with dinosaurs.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I loved it.
Definitely on my short list for sure. The animated movie hat trick, because that's just really what kids respond to, I think, immediately. The Lion King, obviously. I would watch it, rewind it, and watch it again. I remember doing, it's one of my earliest memories, but my mom has also confirmed, you would not stop watching The Lion King. You simply would not stop.
Still can't hear the soundtrack from that without getting teary. Not because
beautiful.
I was a child when it came out, but watching
so
it with Amanda because she was so...
We were exactly the
right
first
age.
Movie that I saw in the theater.
Yeah, because we were like exactly the right age for The Lion King. Yeah.
It's so
special.
It's so beautiful.
Disney didn't have a great 80s. Like they made some wonderful things in the 80s. Little Mermaid is late 80s.
Yeah. That's like the beginning of the Disney.
They kind of had like a creative and financial dip in the 80s.
They did,
and then they came back with the Lion King.
They're like, are you ready for this?
Yeah. And oh, wow.
What what a great movie.
Tragically, I don't think we have time to answer my other two questions. I know.
What if we do want to go really like quick?
Speed round.
Okay. First movie that made you think about movies as an art form, Sheila.
It would probably be 8.5.
Oh, that's a really good answer.
That's an amazing answer.
Yeah. Amanda?
Stanley Kubrick's The Paths of Glory.
Really good answer.
I watched it in history class in high school, and it's kind of mostly it's a movie about World War One, and it's mostly a procedural about men who, anyways.
This is supposed to be the lightning round.
The final scene is still so incredibly, I was bored for most of the movie, and then the final scene is so engaging and so tragic and so beautiful. And it, like, yeah, anyways.
Mine's The Fall by Tarzan.
Oh! Really good answer.
We definitely don't have time for this last one because I'm sure we've been cut off. But if we haven't, this has been Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda and Sheila.
Yay!
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure to be in the studio with you guys.
To be here with you. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
We'll post our third one online.
Exactly.
Don't worry. We'll share it with the people.
Good night,
They don't
everybody.
Even know what they're missing.
Bye.
Bye.